Turn with me to Daniel 6, Daniel chapter 6. I've looked off and on the last two or three services on this thought of tied up in knot, and I'm stuck on have-nots. The Bible says several times this phrase, have not. And I'm looking at two extreme examples. One will be protection, how God protects us. But the other extreme is the word or the thought, punishment. And I don't know of any more extreme or different thoughts than that as far as what God does in our lives. Well, let's look at Daniel 6, beginning in verse 22. My God hath sent his angel and have shut the lion's mouths, that they have not hurt me. Did you hear what he said? That they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Daniel says that the Lord has protected him. He says, the lions have not hurt me. Well, I got news for you. That's not normal. The nature of a lion is to attack. The nature of a lion is to devour. And so it is with our enemy, the lion called the devil. You may have not noticed, but you're under an attack. We are in a world that is not safe. Boy, we talk about things like happened yesterday in Buffalo, 10 dead because some wacko decided to come in some with a gun. And what's going on in Ukraine, and what's going on in your neighborhood, what's going on in the world. We're in a dangerous world, there's no doubt. But there's something else more involved than our danger than just what's going on from mankind. A bunch of loonies and evil people. They ain't just sick, they're evil. But the devil is attacking. The devil is making sure that our life is not safe. But at the same time, God can protect us in this dangerous world. I don't know of anything more dangerous than to be in a den of lions. And these lions had not yet just been fed. In fact, they would starve the lions before they would cast in a prisoner or someone to be devoured. To make sure that those lions would devour and destroy and would kill. And if you read on, you find out that after Daniel got pulled out, those that had accused or whatever were cast in, and before their bodies even hit the floor of the den, they had been devoured by those lions. And Daniel said, my Lord, have not let the lions devour me. Said again, that's the nature of a lion, to devour. A lion has no mercy. Doesn't care that he's attacking is a sheep, or a man or a woman, or a little child or an infant. Has no mercy. There is in the nature of that lion to devour and destroy. And so it is with the enemy we call the lion, the devil. That's what Peter said, is a roaring lion. He's a walking about seeking whom he may devour. That's his nature. He is wicked. He is vile. He is ungodly. And he wants, listen to me, he wants to hurt you. He wants to hurt you. When you're hurting, he's happy. When you're weeping, it thrills him. When he hurts us, he's glad. For he sees us as an enemy. When he hurts us, he's happy. He not only wants to hurt, he wants to harm. He wants to hinder. Whatever God's doing in our lives, he wants to hinder it somehow. He wants somehow to come between you and the blessings of God and the best that God has for you. He wants to humiliate. You talk about humiliation. The devil can work in our lives and get us to do such dumb things that we wonder later, how in the world could I say such a thing? How in the world could I have been so dumb to do that? It is embarrassing to me what I have done or said. That's the work of the devil. He loves to hurt and harm and hinder and humiliate. That's his desire. But Daniel reminds us that your God will protect you. And even though the devil attacks, and even though the enemy's doing all he can't harm or hurt or hinder or humiliate. It will just follow God. Daniel said, they have not hurt me. Oh, they wanted to, but God made sure that they didn't. And the next verse, 23, tells us a little bit more about it. Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded they should take up Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no matter of a hurt was found upon him because, listen, he believed in his God. That's why. Do you understand? In the midst of the den of lions, Daniel still believed in God. I'll tell you what, I feel like sometimes I'm in the middle of a den of lions in the world that we're living. It seems like everything's going against us and everything's going wrong, and there's so many problems and so many attacks and bad news after bad news after bad news. But God, in the midst of the den of lions, can protect his people, and he will protect us. I'm talking about Daniel said, they have not hurt me. Oh, thank the Lord. You see, God wants to protect. I say God wants to protect. I say it again, God wants to protect. And he tries to, if we'll let him. There's a whole lot of times he's working and we don't believe it. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what the book said about Daniel? He believed in his God, and that's what made the difference. So often we doubt and fear and wonder. So often we dread. So often we see the line instead of God over the line. So often we see the problem instead of God over the problem. But Daniel believed God, and God protected him. And the same God that protected Daniel can and will and wants to protect us. Here's what the Bible says. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Ephesians 6:10, Paul again said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Isaiah 41:10 said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee. He says, do you know I'm with you? If I am, don't worry about it. I will protect you. I am not saying you won't go into the den of lions. I am not saying there'll be no attack, but I am saying in the midst of the attack, when everything's going bad, when everything's going haywire, I'll protect you. I'll make sure that lion doesn't do what it wants to do. You will not be devoured. You will not be destroyed. And talks about when Caleb came back and gave the report of the promised land. 10 of the spies said, there's no way, there's giants over there. We'll be destroyed for sure. They'll wipe us out. We better not go. We cannot go. It is not wise to go. But Caleb, when he spoke up, said this in Numbers 13:30. And Caleb steeled the people. He really said, will you just hush a little bit here? Settle down. Caleb steeled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. And the it that he talks about being able to overcome is all the enemy and all their artillery and all their know-how and all their training and all their soldiers and all the giants and all the walls. And Caleb said, let's go right now. Right now, at once, Let's don't delay. Let's don't talk about it any longer. We've already got all the evidence. We've already got all the information that we need. Let's go because we are able. But what he was saying is our God is able. I'm saying God protects. Caleb was saying, let's go right into the midst of the battle. Because God said he would give it, that he would provide. That means he's going to protect. If you look sometime, I'll just read it right now. You don't have to turn with me. In Psalm 91, it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He said, God will provide, God will protect. He will not keep you from the battle, but he'll keep you from those who would defeat you in the battle. He says that, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. That's talking about someone who was trained to capture, trained to get. And he said, God will protect you against those who know how to devour, know how to hurt, know how to capture. They are experts at what they do, but that's not a bit of a problem to God. He still will protect you. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. He says, when you go into that promised land that no doubt is full of enemies, full of giants, don't you worry about it, because you're not going by yourself. You're going, and I'm going with you. And I will not fail you, and I will not forsake you. Well, now that's one part of the message this morning. Have not, dealing with protection. And I wish that was all there was to the message. But there's another one. If you will, turn with me to Amos chapter 2. Amos chapter 2. We'll just read just a portion of the verse there. I'm talking about have nots tied up with knots or in knots. And I have looked at the word protection this morning. Daniel said, they have not hurt me. But there's another have not I want to deal with. And unfortunately, that's a have not of punishment. You see, the same God who protects will also punish if it's necessary. The same God who will keep us away from the trouble or the trouble away from us is the same God that will put us in trouble if we make him do it. Amos 2, verse 4, just a portion. I will not turn away the punishment thereof. Listen. I will not turn away the punishment thereof because they have despised the law of the Lord and have not kept his commandments. He said, those who do not keep my commandments, I will punish. Those who do not listen to me will pay the price. I will protect those who walk with me and believe me and obey me, but I will punish those who do not. Numbers 14:22 says, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. He says, those people that I took care of in Egypt, even though it's tough, and I brought them out of Egypt with a miraculous hand, and I took care of them all through the wilderness. And they saw miracle after miracle. They saw good thing after good thing. I took care of them in the midst of it all. And they still have not hearkened to my voice. After all they saw and after all they experienced, they still did not listen. Oh, I'm afraid that's more like us than I want to admit. And the real reason, if you analyze the situation, the real reason they did not listen to God goes right back to what it says about Daniel. These people of Israel did not believe God. They didn't believe God about going to the promised land. Oh, they're too big. We can't do it. They didn't believe when Moses came and said, God told me to lead you out of Egypt. They didn't believe it. And because they did not believe it, they did not do what God said to do. And God says, I will punish them because you have not listened to me. And I wonder how far we are from that as a country, as a church, as individuals. God said, I will protect you, but I also will punish you if I have to. Numbers 14:23, surely they shall not, here's what he said, I'm going to punish. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. He said, I have promised the promised land to those who will obey and those who will believe, but those who do not obey and those who do not believe, they won't get to go in. And a lot of them didn't, from 20 years old and up, except for Caleb and Joshua. They didn't go, except Moses. Moses didn't get there either, but God said, I will protect you, but if you make me, I'll punish you. Psalm 95, verse 10, 11, 40 years long have I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. I won't give them that place of rest. I won't give them that promised land. And the promised land, again, is not heaven. It is a victorious Christian life here in this world. And God said, here's what he said, if you want my best, you better listen to me and obey. Because if you don't, I'll have to punish you. A good father punishes his children when they do wrong. If he does not, he is not a good father. And I guarantee you one thing, we've got a good father in heaven. He will punish if he has to. And what they did, unfortunately, I'll turn to it. I'm talking about the children of Israel here and how God said, I want to give you the land, but I can't give you the land because you haven't listened. And when he told them, if you'll just listen, I'll give it to you. Here's what they how they responded in Numbers 14. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Well, that sounds pretty good. Maybe they're going to get right. And all the children of Israel murmured against, wait a minute, that don't sound too good. Sound to me like they're not reacting right. They don't get to go in, and it's their fault because they ain't listened. And now Moses warns them about that, and instead of listening, they refuse even more. Listen. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? God just told them the reason you don't get to go in is because I am having to punish you because you haven't listened. Instead of listening, though, they continue to refuse to listen even more. I'm talking about God is a God who will punish if he has to. He had sent preachers and prophets, and he had sent people to warn them, and they ignored them all. I want you to turn with me this time, Jeremiah 16. Jeremiah 16. I'm talking about God as a God who will protect, but if need be, he's a God who will punish. And he punishes those of his own who refuse to listen. He said, they have not hearkened to my voice. They have not heard what I said. They have not done what I told them to do. Here's another example of that. It's a different occasion, different people, but it's still the same type of event where God tells them to do something and they don't. Jeremiah 16, beginning in verse 10. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt show this people all these words, and they shall say unto thee, wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Then thou shalt say unto them, because your father hath forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law. And ye have done worse than your fathers, for behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Therefore I will cast you out of this land into a land that ye know not, neither ye nor your fathers, and there shall ye serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. God said, I've talked to you and talked to you and talked to you, and you won't listen. And I can't give you my best when you live like that. He says, I'll protect you if you let me, and I'm glad to do it, but I'll punish you if I have to. He says, I have offered my blessings to you. I have offered my best to you. I have offered the one thing that'll make you happy in this world. And my only request is that you obey me. That's the only thing I ask you. And he didn't even ask that for his sake. He asked that for their sake. Because he said, if you obey me, now it'll please me, and I will be honored. But if you obey me, you will get the best that I have. So obeying me is the best thing you could do for your own self and your own families. But you refuse to listen. Turn to Jeremiah 25. Same man, same kind of occasion, same situation where punishment is needed. Jeremiah 25. Begin reading in verse 1. We're going to read several verses. I want you to listen closely. Jeremiah 25, beginning in verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Joash, king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even to this day, that there is 23rd year, the word of the Lord hath come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. He said, I have spoken to you exactly what God's saying. I have spoken it consistently over a period of time. I have not changed, I have not rearranged, I have not changed my mind, and neither has God. But he says, ye have not hearkened. So what will God do? Let's find out. Verse 4. And the Lord have sent unto you all his servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, turn ye away now every one from his evil way, and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you and to your fathers forever and ever. He said, turn away from your evil doings, turn to me, and God will bless you. He will give you his best. Verse 6, and go not after other gods to serve them, and to worship them, and provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. I won't punish you. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that ye might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. He says, you have not listened, and you have provoked me to anger, and it's to your own hurt that you've done so. Verse 8, Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send you, he's about to punish. I will send and take all the families of the north, said the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and I will bring them against this land. He said, I will bring your enemy that you could have overcome. I will bring them where you're at, and they will defeat you. Punishments on the way. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and I will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and a perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of myrrh. I'll take away their joy. And the voice of gladness, their happiness will be gone. The voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride and the sound of the millstones and the light of the candle. I'll take my good things from them. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, said the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make a perpetual desolations. God said, you haven't listened to me. I offered you my best. I offered you peace. I offered you blessings. But you wouldn't listen. You refused to listen. And because of that, I'll send desolation. And he says in verse 3 and verse 6 and verse 7 and verse 8 and verse 10, it's because you wouldn't listen. In other words, you're suffering the consequences of not obeying me. I have no doubt whatsoever that's what our country is experiencing right now. I want to say that we will be judged as a nation if we don't listen, but I can't say that. Because I have to say we are already being judged because as a nation we have not hearkened to God. He says, I will protect you. I will protect you like I did Daniel in the den of lions, if you'll listen, if you'll believe me, if you'll trust me. But if you don't, I will have to punish you. And we are seeing that in this country. And that hurts me. And I'm very much concerned. But what I'm more concerned about is us as a church, a local body, and whether we are hearkening to his voice. And as much as that concerns me as it does with all my heart, because I'm the pastor here, it concerns me even more, we as individuals, are we listening to him? Are we hearkening to him? We can experience the protection of a Daniel or the punishment of the people of Israel. God says, I will speak to you, and I always speak right, and I always speak to help you and bless you. But if you don't listen, you'll pay. He removed his best, he removed his blessing, and he allowed the enemy to attack and overcome. There's a difference. With Daniel, the enemy attacked, but was defeated. Daniel 1. With the people of Israel, the enemy attacked, and they were defeated. They were defenseless to their attacker. They became easy prey. And I think that's one reason why we see so little victory today, so little joy in our lives, so little peace, so little power. Buster Mullen preaching a service, and one service where 11 people get saved through that service and on through the night is amazing, and I'm so thankful for it. But it used to be that that was a normal thing. It used to be that was normal, and I believe one of the reasons is because as America we have stopped listening to him, but I'm afraid we as individuals have stopped listening to God. I got a question. If God speaks to you, do you listen? Are you faithful to hear him, to do His will. He is faithful to protect those who will believe and obey, but He also is just as faithful to punish those who don't. One thing for sure, my mom and daddy had mixed feelings, completely different feelings about discipline, totally different. But I do know this, I didn't want either one of them. Whether it was my daddy just fussing or my mama fussing and whipping, but I didn't want either one. And I do know God is a God who will punish, and I don't want to experience it. And I'm afraid we may be already. If He speaks to you this morning, if He speaks to you in this invitation, will you listen? Oh, we need to listen to Him. Believe Him and listen to Him. And if we don't, I think we'll be sorry. And more important than that, it grieves Him. Let's stand together.